Hello and welcome to another episode of Red Hawk Rewind, the official podcast of Miami Athletics. My name is Tim Carey.
And I'm Dave Meyer. Tim, you did a really good job there. You threw in a little bit extra.
I didn't want to be predictable and say the exact same thing every time, although it's pretty close. It's like every press conference that I start, we're here with Miami coach, and it's just like, it's almost like a script, but you don't want it to feel scripted. You want it to feel natural.
I have two things for you.
Okay. One. That's like two more than zero.
Happy Halloween.
Thank you.
Okay. I even brought you some candy.
You know, it's November now. Halloween is over.
So see this belly?
Okay.
I'm trying to get rid of it, so you need to help me out and eat the candy.
Thank you.
But
this would be good for the podcast today because every couple minutes it'll pan to us and there'll be one last piece of candy on the table all the way down and see if we can get through it in a half hour.
But number two, it happened this weekend.
What was that?
I got old. So I was at a wedding this weekend and I'm that old guy where I was covering my ears, telling the DJ to turn the music down. All the little kids are running around, and I'm telling them to stop running. I don't know when it happened, but I definitely noticed it.
Did you say, get off my lawn?
And I shook my fist at the cloud and everything, yeah.
There was a cloud? Was it inside wedding?
There was a dance floor, and in the middle of the evening, all of a sudden a garage door goes up. And so then it was half outside and half inside.
Okay. I'm setting the over-under how many times that you were on the dance floor at 0.5. How'd I do?
We got the over, just barely.
Okay.
We did the first dance when, where it's how long have you been married? And we made it. We were around there pretty long at this point.
So. How long have you been married now?
I can't believe I'm going to say this. What I like to tell my wife is we've been married for 20 years. But happily married for 600 days.
I don't even have anything to say. Can we move on to the rest of this podcast?
Who are we talking to today?
Today we have Julia Wechter, a senior from the swim team. Let's bring her in. And welcome back. We are here with our special guest today, a senior on the swim and dive team, a swimmer from Beverly Hills, Michigan, Julia Wechter. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's nice to be here.
Julia, how many times have you been asked Beverly Hills, but it's in Michigan? How many times does that happen?
So many. Beverly Hills, California, I get. And then if I say Birmingham, Michigan, they're Alabama? I'm no.
How far from Detroit? Because you obviously can't just say Detroit.
Right. I would say 45 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Swimming.
Yes.
Big swimmer, senior here.
Yes.
What are your events that you like to do?
I swim sprint freestyle, so 200 freestyle, 100 freestyle, and 50 freestyle.
How'd you decide that at some point you probably were earmarked of, you're a freestyle swimmer?
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
My swimming experience is kind of unique. So most swimmers swim their whole lives growing up. I did three sports in high school. In my junior year, swimming was a fall sport. My coach sat me down. He was are you going to do anything with this? Or are you just going to be a three sport high school student? And I was wait, what? What are you saying? And he's you can keep going if you wanted to. And I was oh, shoot. I probably should look into that. But I kind of swam mainly freestyle in high school and then not really good at much else. So stick to those three sprint freestyle events and a couple relays here and there. But
do you have a favorite one? I was looking just this year. It was 50, 300 free, 200 free, all the different relays. There's seven different events just this year that you've been in.
Yeah. My favorite is probably the 100 free. I'm super mental with the 50 free, which is crazy because it's literally two laps, but it's just if you do anything wrong, it's over. If you miss your start or miss your turn or breathe at the wrong time, the race is pretty much over. So that's more mental for me. And then the 200, I didn't really swim until I got to college. So that's a little bit longer for me. So there's a lot more strategy that goes into it. So every time I swim, I'm just what should I do now? and then just cross my fingers and hope that everything that I did in season works out at conference. So my favorite's probably the 100.
Just so that's how Tim and I do our podcast every week. It's what should we do now?
So. Yeah.
So you never wanted to be a long distance swimmer?
No, God, no. All the respect for those girls, but God bless, not for me.
There are so many things about swimming that I wish I understood, but I'm just not a swimmer. I took a lot of swimming classes, but I didn't like them. The reason being, at the end of my swim class at the Y, every quarter or whatever it was, you had to do a somersault and just going over the, so it's not my thing, but what do you think about while you're swimming a 50 free or 100 free? What goes through your mind?
Great question. I would say racing, there's not much going on up there. It's just I like to be like relaxed, and I do get nervous, but I turn those nerves into excitement. Like I'm more just like, let's go.
Seems like it would be hard to do underwater.
Yeah. I mean, racing, I'm very much just like, go, 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 get your hand on the wall. And then like the last 5 yards, I'm like, just put your head down and finish. But practice, there's like a whole lot going on. Like what's for dinner later? What happened in class today? Just a lot of, and then, you know, like conversations during practice are hard to have because we have like intervals for what we're doing. So it's like, oh my gosh, guess what happened today? And then you push off the wall and do like 100, and then you come back and you're like, so basically, and then the conversation takes the whole 2 hours. So there's a lot that goes on.
So
upstairs.
This is a different experience for you. Yeah. Kind of put the question and answer right back to back.
Yeah.
So you're talking about how, I mean, there's not a lot of things, it's just reactive. But I mean, I've been to 100 swim meets here and everybody's screaming and yelling and cheering you on. Can you even hear like when someone's like saying go or kick?
Yeah.
Or go,
I would say like for the 200, I definitely like when I'm breathing, I can see like my coaches and like their motions of like if I'm on pace or not. 50 free and 100 free, more so like the bigger meets. When I breathe, you just hear like, like, which is really kind of cool. And when it's loud, it definitely helps. But if someone's like saying like, go, Julia, like I can't necessarily hear that. It's kind of just blurred into one like screaming noise. It's
not like anyone ever says slow down. I mean, everyone's just saying go, go, faster, faster. Like, well, yeah. I know, right?
We were actually talking about that at practice yesterday. Like, we were like, take your mark, go. Like, our coach was like, I could say anything and you would still go. Like, I could say, like, take your mark, like, French fries, and you'd still be going off the blocks.
So what are all the hand motions that the coaches are doing?
Like, more so, this is more so, like, the distance girls. But for the 200, I have, like, some. But the coaches, if they're, like, arms are both up, it's, like, you're on pace. And then, like, this is, like, pick it up a little bit more.
And so you're trying to swim as fast as you can. You're trying to breathe and not drown. Yet you can still look over and you can see these hand motions?
I mean, sometimes, like, when I breathe to the side that the coaches are on, I usually can see them after 2 or 3 breaths and, like, what their motions are. But it's not necessarily like I'm taking a breath. I'm like, oh, what are they thinking right now? But, yeah.
So you've been part of a couple school record relays. You have a MAC title and a relay. Like, what have been your favorite memories so far in the pool during your time in Miami?
For sure. Every day is awesome, but I will say my sophomore year MAC championship, so the year we set that 800 freestyle relay, was just ultimate. Team came together. We had a rougher season in season, and we kind of put everything behind us. And that relay was the first event of the whole meet, and the meet's Wednesday to Saturday, so it's long. And that really set, like, the tone. I mean, that was the coolest experience of my life, swimming-wise, for sure.
Swimming, it seems very individualized, right? Because you're just in the pool by yourself with your thoughts or whatever. But when you win a relay and you get to celebrate with other teammates, what is that like?
Oh my gosh, it's so cool. I mean, we'll reference that 800 freestyle again, you know, behind the block. So everyone does a 200. So that's a longer time. So I think I went second. I'm pretty sure I went second. And like down on the other end of the lane was like my whole team, and they had like signs, and like one of the girls was like screaming. And, like, so watching that before getting up on the blocks was, like, so exhilarating. And then getting up on the blocks, like, it was so loud in there. And the only thing I could hear was my heartbeat. I was literally, it was just like, boom, 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 boom. I was like, oh, gosh. But I will say, like, being a part of a relay when everyone's going and everyone's doing their own part, I think sometimes it can be mentally hard because if you don't do your part, you're like, we lost that on me, which is something I've struggled with just because I am a part of a couple relays here and there. But you have to just remember, like, it's 4 people. We're working together. And when it comes out on the better end, it's so much fun. I mean, it's just easy to have each other's backs and, like, celebrate after that.
I saw your video interview with Jay where you were talking about a lucky meat towel. So I have some questions, like, what percentage of your success do you attribute to the superstitious towel? And is it starting to fray if you've been using it for 8 years? Like, how often does it get washed? All these things are just come to my mind.
I wash it after every meat, so it's clean. One of the ends, though, did just have a big rip, so that's, like, there's a couple threads on there.
Uh-oh.
But I used it in high school, like, it must have been, like, my 3rd high school meet, and I was like, oh, I've used this towel every meet, and then I was just like, okay, this is my meat towel. Conference, it gets a little gross because, again, it's 5 days, and we're in a hotel usually, so it's not like we have a washer and dryer. So by Saturday night, it's usually, like, soaking wet, but I don't affiliate my success to that, but it definitely just is in the back of my mind. I'm like, if I change my towel, maybe will I swim slower? Like, I don't want to test that out. Yeah.
How big is this towel?
It's big. It's like a bigger towel. It's thick. It's big. It's
so
blue.
Like in a 5-day, you could just use this corner on day one and this corner.
Yeah, definitely have to air dry a little bit more on the later days. But
the other thing about that video, Jay's been doing a great job with these segments, but he has everybody draw a logo, either like an M or a swoop or whatever. And yours was the first time that I realized, like, you said swoop was a fish, and I don't know why, if that's swimming swoop or what was going, like, what was going on in the swoop drawing?
Yeah, so we do white elephant every year for Women Swim and Dive, and I had the grand idea to get a fish instead of like a normal like white elephant gift. So I got a betta fish, and he was red, and so I called him Swoop. Swoop is no longer with us. He has died. But so when he was like, draw Swoop, I'm like, I can draw a fish in 4 seconds. Like, that's so easy. And all the swimmers know what, like, Swoop the fish.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you follow that up? I didn't know our mascot was. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. A little more serious. I want to go back to, you're talking about your heart beating and like the pressure that you feel when you're in a relay.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any training you can do to calm those nerves, or what do you guys do in practice to work on that?
For sure. I actually swim a lot faster on relays than I do individually, which like is a blessing and a curse in both kind of ways. Relays, I just like, I'm less in my head, I would say. I have more fun with that. I don't really struggle. Like, I've never had to like practice any sort of way to, you know, calm myself down before a relay. I just kind of like look around at the girls that are also on the relay. And, you know, if I'm going third, once the first person is done and I'm on the blocks, they're like, come on. Like, just having like little noises around you from 3 other girls that, you know, ultimately we've been training with for months on months. So
you've been involved with the Red Hawk Council here as a student athlete, but also on the MAC level of representing Miami as a student athlete. Just kind of give us some background on what that looks like in both of those organizations and what you've enjoyed or learned or appreciated most from it.
Yeah, I got involved in Red Hawk Council when I was a sophomore. There was a couple other swimmers that were a part of it as well. And I got super involved last year to the point where the two presidents were both graduating, and basically I was on like the exact team running the social media and stuff. And they were like, hey, do you want to step into this position? And I was like, you know what? Sure. Prior to that, one of the reps could not attend a COSA meeting, and so she was like, can you take my spot? And I went to that, and it was just really cool. So there's two representatives from each MAC institution, and we meet twice a year in person and then once a month on Zoom, and just talk about what's going on within the MAC at that time and then within our own schools. So it's really unique to see like how other MAC schools are doing things. Like right now, something that's really big is our annual canned food drive, which we did not do good in last year, but we're doing better in this year. So it's just like, even like something as small as that, just saying like, how are you promoting this at Bowling Green, or how are you promoting this at Ball State? How can we take each other's ideas and do that? And then, yeah, now I'm president of Red Hawk Council. So it's really cool to meet with athletes from all teams at Miami, because obviously like being a swimmer, there's 60 of us, there's a lot of us, but it's unique to hear from volleyball players, baseball players, hockey players, like all players that are at Miami.
Did maybe it was in the Jay video. That you've been a coach, or you do some coaching? What's that?
Yeah, I've been a swim coach at Birmingham Country Club back in Michigan for the past 3 summers. And then I've been working there a total of 7 summers, and it's so much fun. I started as a lifeguard, you know, more so looking like something to do and be outside, and then was a pool manager, and then was coaching. So I love those kiddos. I've been watching them swim for a while, so...
7 summers, have they won 7 championships in that time?
They have.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Okay, how old are these kids?
Ages like 3 to 18. So I do like private lessons with the younger ones. And then the team is, I would say the youngest we have like on the team is 3.
Why would you do that?
I love it. I think it's so fun. Like, I know like how I'm thinking when I'm swimming. So it's fun to be able to share advice and, you know, skills and technique to younger kids, and you know, they always think I'm super cool, so that's fun too.
But okay, you're trying to teach like a 5-year-old, this is what we know, and their attention span is about 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, so how do you even keep them a little bit focused?
You just gotta talk to them, whatever they want to talk. Same thing, I'm like, what'd you have for breakfast this morning? See, whatever they got on top of mind is what we chat about.
Do you make them do somersaults underwater?
No. Okay, not good. Until they're like able to do so.
Okay.
Do they all have their own special towel?
No. All right.
She might be the first guest has ever actually just thought about getting up and walking. Yeah. Like, but if If she does, I'm going to blame Dave.
Yeah.
How did you decide Miami was the place for you?
Oh, that's a good question. So when I started getting recruited, my parents were kind of like, whoa, what's this? You know, just different. My dad was a lacrosse player at John Carroll, but like very different now. And so my spring break junior year, I want to say, we went on like a big road trip and visited a ton of schools. So Miami was the first place we came. And I think it was like Easter break here. So there was like nobody on campus. And I was here with my siblings and my parents. And we, like, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is the prettiest school I've ever run to. Like, this is so cool. And then, you know, I'm like, okay, it's the first school out of like a 7-school trip. And every school I went to, I was like, oh, this is nice. But like Miami had this. And like my mom was like, you know what you're doing? Like, you're comparing every school to Miami. And, you know, meeting the team and the coaches, it just seemed like the perfect culture and the perfect fit for me ultimately.
Is it true, like when you were on your recruiting trip looking at the pool, mm-hmm. I always hear that this pool is fast. Is that a real thing?
Oh yeah. It sounds so silly, but like the walls, the temperature, I mean, the pool is gorgeous. So I went to Marion High School and we didn't have a pool. So we had to drive 25 minutes to swim and we were at like really crappy pools. So I was in like a 5-lane pool, like in a dungeon my whole high school career. And then coming here, I was like, holy, there's 19 lanes and there's a separate diving well. Like, oh my gosh. It's unbelievable.
There are different awards you can get in high school, right? Like most valuable, most improved. Did you get an award for being brutally aggressive?
How did you know that?
Our research goes to like endless depths.
I don't know how to tell you this, but Tim can find anything.
Wait, that's
on the internet.
Crazy.
So he's good.
What does it mean to be a brutally aggressive in the context of swimming?
That's a quote. Brutally aggressive is a term from my coach in high school, Bill Thompson. He's a G. But just like the ability, he always defined it as like the ability to like get out and like do whatever you want, like accomplish whatever you set your mind to. And I'm pretty blunt. So like aggressive is a good word.
I like it. Graduation coming, getting kind of close. What do you want to do when you finally finish up here?
That's a good question. I'm studying marketing and sport leadership and management. Ideally, you know, being involved coaching these past summers, I love the sport atmosphere. So we'll see. I'm in the works looking for a job. So,
I mean, you've handled yourself pretty well in here. If you could always come replace Tim for the podcast.
he tries to get rid of me. Every week on the podcast, we play a game.
Oh,
so
gosh.
We put the guest on the spot a little bit, and we make you play against Dave. The good news is Dave never wins, so you have that going for you.
It's kind of like you're on the blocks, and you're the first swimmer got a huge lead.
Right.
Right.
I should go get my towel.
The towel doesn't apply to podcasting games. The funniest part about this is Dave actually spends time every week trying to guess what the game is going to be related to.
Okay.
So Dave, today, because Julia is freestyle, we're going to do freestyle rap.
Oh God.
No, I'm kidding.
I was going to say.
This is pool trivia. So I'm going to give you something related to the word pool and, you know, whatever might fill in the blank to go with pool because of swimming. And you will take turns. You'll give a number of what you think the number is. And the other person just has to go higher or lower and see if they can be closer than you, basically.
I like the chances.
Not as complicated as it sounds, I promise. So first thing related to pool, but not really pool, Deadpool. So, Dave, the Deadpool movie was released in 2016 with Ryan Reynolds. How much money do you think the Deadpool movie brought in worldwide?
Just the first one?
Yep.
$300 million.
Higher or lower? What do you think, Julie?
I have a 50% chance.
Yeah.
I'm going to say higher.
$783 million.
Jeez.
Next one, pool table. I was debating between pool table and pool ball, but we'll just go with the sport of pool. What year was the first U.S. Open pool championship contested? All you have to do is just pick a number that he can't get on the right side of. So just what year do you think the first pool championship for the like pool table pool balls?
It had to be a while ago, right?
I don't know. I'm waiting for
He
this.
Doesn't want to help you. See, that's the thing. Like, he's grabbing at any straws he can to train.
First, I don't know. You want to help me?
No.
What are you talking about? You're the one that sits there, like, listening through the walls trying to, like, get pieces of information.
I don't know. Say 1800.
1800, earlier than 1800 or later, Dave?
Earlier.
1976.
Oh my gosh, I got it right.
Oh, just the 50 years or so. So that's two for Julia. Yeah.
Okay.
Gene pool. What is the estimated number of genes in the human gene pool according to the Human Genome Project?
This is crazy.
So they did this like 20 years ago. There's a number. I was working really hard to find a number that had to do with gene pool. This like it literally took me half the day. So
1.4 million.
Higher.
25,000.
Oh. So
that's right.
You're not going to get shut out today.
I only missed it by a little bit.
Let's see. Something else to do with pool. Carpool. Approximately what percentage of people carpool to work in the United States? Of workers 16 years or older?
62%. That's high.
Less. It's got
to
be less.
You're not supposed to give him hints after you say it. 8.6%.
Oh, that's really low.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
We're tied.
Yeah.
I can't be the only person to lose.
Well, we'll just tweak the numbers afterwards. Okay. It's fine. Like, I can have Will edit out certain answers.
Take out,
Yeah, that's fine. If you, this is pool noodles. Again, hard to find a stat for.
Yeah.
So if you search pool noodle on Amazon and you want to buy the most expensive thing that you can, like you sort them all, whatever, because you're not just going to buy one pool noodle. Yeah. You might. What is the most expensive item? So this is going to be plural pool noodles on Amazon. The most expensive thing when you run a search for pool noodle on Amazon cost you how much?
$60.
Higher or lower?
Higher.
$3,047. It's 1,048-inch pool noodles was the number one thing.
That's
is it covered in gold?
Like, no, just 1,000 of them. So it's like $3 a pool noodle, which still seems high to me, but I've never actually priced them out until today.
Interesting.
Jury pool. What percentage of Americans are summoned for jury duty every year? Estimated percentage.
Silence is good for a podcast. This is good.
Sorry. I'm going to say 33%.
Higher or lower than 33%?
Well, before I answer, I've always wanted to be selected, and I've never have.
Don't put that on the internet. No. Yeah.
So come get me. Come get me. Less.
14.4%.
Aww.
Back 3-3?
Maybe. I don't know. I should be keeping score.
So. I'm losing. Or it's tied.
I think we're tied.
Whirlpool. The dollar figure of how much Whirlpool Corporation reported in annual sales last year?
$226 million.
More or less of Whirlpool sales amount from the Whirlpool Corporation company, whatever, last year?
I don't know.
You got a 50% chance.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, he was not exactly right. How about that?
Lower?
$17 billion. It was higher.
Shucks.
Candidate pool. Here's the one close to home. How many faculty or staff positions are currently listed on Miami's job site that the public could go apply to right now to be faculty or staff at Miami University?
So, like, how many job openings there? Yeah. Okay.
Can you give me, like, a maximum?
Nope.
Okay.
Because then that's going to help him know if he should go higher or lower.
I don't know. I feel like there's...
Twenty-six. Higher or lower?
It's got to be higher than that.
166.
Ooh, that's actually still pretty low.
I stink at this game.
Should we just wave the white flag? I think I won.
I've seen you find really interesting ways to lose.
No, let's keep going until I have one more than he does.
Pool record. The youngest person ever to set a swimming world record was how old at the time?
16.
Younger.
12 years, 10 months, 25 days.
Who was that?
South African swimmer Karen Muir, 1965. She set 15 world records.
At the age of 12.
And retired at the age of 16.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Last one. Motor pool. How many registered cars, estimated, are there currently in the United States?
Oh, my gosh. There's got to be like a billion.
Higher or lower?
I'm going to take less.
Oh, gosh, I just lose the whole thing.
It is lower. It is 298.7 million estimated.
A lot of cars.
It is a lot of cars. Congratulations, Dave, I guess.
One in 10.
So bad for me, though. I'm the only person that's lost.
No, this could go on for years and years. Like, when this podcast has had, like, 3,000, you will always go down in
the first person to lose.
And the most random, like, everything from pool noodles to the gene pool.
But just remember, if we were to race in a pool, you would get down one lap, and on your second way back, you'd have to save me.
Okay,
so just keep that in mind.
Perfect.
I'm just... The towel wasn't here. I really think that's the deciding factor.
Yeah, probably.
This towel.
We like to end with something a little more serious, so kind of our parting advice. You're a senior now. You've been here for a while. If you could go back in time a little bit and give a piece of advice to freshman you coming to Miami, not knowing what this whole college student athlete swimming experience was going to be like, what would you tell yourself?
I would tell myself to embrace the changes. I think coming in here, I was somebody that didn't like change, but being a student athlete, you know, with the ebbs and flows of everything, there was a lot of change that happened. So there were some times that I was like, whoa, I don't like this. But looking back, if I just like relaxed and just let everything play out, I think I would be a little bit more enjoyable with myself.
Perfect. Well, thanks for joining us. Did you have a little bit of fun?
Yeah.
All right. Sorry about the loss. Okay. It's all right. You'll be all right.
And Friday, home meet against Northern Kentucky, 3:00 in the pool. So come check it out, and we'll see you next week.